Four Midwest Guys presents... X-Men Apocalypse Reaction.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Four Midwest Guys Presents X-Men Apocalypse Reactions and Reviews. With me today is my brother, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, man?
How's it going, Aaron? And Stephanie's back.
Hi, everybody.
Hopefully we won't bust her brain today. And Johnny Z's back.
My goal tonight is to bust your brain again.
That will be fun. Hopefully there'll be, and this will be a non-brain-busting freezer.
Well, I did, you know, before we got into seeing the movie, I actually did show her a few of the cartoon episodes with Apocalypse in it. Mm-hmm.
And, well, that's good. So she's more prepared.
Yeah, she's got a bit of the idea of like how he was presented in the show, how he appears in the comics, that sort of thing.
Well, that's fair. That's good. Just real note, Mr. Engelbauer couldn't be with us, but feel better, Brian. Hopefully, he'll be back with us next time. So, all right. So let's just the quick summary of the movie was, Johnny, you want to take it.
We start in ancient Egypt, and then probably the first mutant, N. Abun Sur, better known to us comic fans as Apocalypse, is awakened in the 1980s, and of course he wants to take over the world, basically. Wants to kill everyone. So that's, in a nutshell, the plot of X-Men Apocalypse.
Pretty much. Aaron, what'd you think? Like, what's your, like, just if you just had to give a quick summary of the movie, how would you describe it?
It's more or less trying to replicate the old school cartoon X-Men team and kind of how you have Jean Grey, Scott Summers, how they come together and then dealing with the Apocalypse threat. And more or less Apocalypse trying to take over the world and, you know, merge minds with every person on the planet at some point.
Okay, that's fair. Stephanie.
How would I summarize it?
Yeah, just in your own words.
Quick summary of like how you felt about the whole thing.
Just if you had to tell somebody what the movie's about, what would you say?
Big blue guy, X-Men, Xavier loses hair. It was pretty cool.
Okay, that's fair. To me, I would say it's their attempt at trying to merge maybe the comic view of Apocalypse with the cartoon of the 90s, maybe, sort of, little bit.
I think they kind of didn't get it right.
Liked it. For me... I'm not going to say I didn't like it. I liked it. I liked the movie. It just seemed like I would have liked a little bit more Apocalypse in it.
I also liked it, but from the cartoons that I was shown,
yeah,
it didn't live up to it.
Yeah, for me, I mean, there's two sides of me that are at war. You know, it's the side of me that, you know, that loves the comics and loves, you know, seeing the nostalgia factor, and there's the other side of me going, well, wait a minute, why'd you do it like this, guys? So, yeah. But...
All right, so let's talk about it just as a movie. What were the scenes that really worked for you guys? Aaron?
I'm not sure if there's one scene that... Oh, no, actually, there would be
Scene. There is only one scene.
There is one scene that more or less could mend the entire film, and that's the Quicksilver slow motion scene to the song.
Yes, yes.
To be honest, like, if they want to do just the next film, just him going through life in the world in slow motion to music in the background, just a X-Men meets American Pop sort of thing, I'd be fine with that. That would be completely acceptable.
That was definitely my favorite scene.
There could be 20 more X-Men movies, and as long as I was guaranteed one Quicksilver moment in that, I would be fine with, I don't care, however many X-Men movies make.
It was the highlight of the film.
That's clearly, like, that's... And sad to say, it's like midway through the movie, and it feels like that's the high note of it, so it's just so...
Oh, it is.
Yes, it's so hard to come, you know, just live up to that moment again.
I'll take the next one. One of my favorite scenes, and I know not everybody liked it. It's a little controversial how they did it, but I liked how they incorporated Wolverine. I know
Oh, no.
I liked how they, you know, as Weapon X.
It was
X,
a nice cameo.
As Weapon good, X, yeah. And he was even wearing, like, the, in from the comics, even, like, the Weapon X gear, even.
And the helmet, and he was running around in his underwear again. Yeah. With the wires.
Were there people that had issues with that scene?
There are some people that, yeah, I've read a few things online that people weren't.
Jerks.
Yeah.
Online always, jerks.
There's always going to be a troll out there trolling around. So, Johnny, what was your favorite scene? What was one of your scenes?
That that Quicksilver scene is just...
Just can't get it out of your head.
Oh, it's perfect. Everything about it just fits so well.
He plays it for our daughter.
Our two-year-old. And yeah, she's hypnotized for a few moments.
I keep yelling at him and going, she's not, it's not age-appropriate.
He's rescuing people. It's not bad.
There's a dog.
There's a dog. Pizza. And some fish.
Not helping.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the scene, really. I mean, but no, it's just, it's a perfect, it's a hybrid of everything that's fantastic about a blockbuster. It's like, from the fun, from the choreography to the, God, the sound design is perfect. The effects are so well planned out in that. It's just... It is just one of the perfect visual effects moments of recent history.
I mean, it really goes with, like, the generation theme that it went
with.
Like,
yeah, I mean, it fits the time, and, you know, of course, it's Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics, which, I mean, hell, even some of the 10-year-olds in our neighborhood are going, oh, I love that song! I'm like, how do you know this song? But, of course,
Marilyn,
I mean,
Marilyn Manson.
But, no, it's just, it's a great scene, and, yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm having fun. It's like, okay. And then Quicksilver hits. I'm like, yep, all right, there we go. Perfect, love it. And then it just comes back down. I'm like, okay, fine. So
I'm going to throw a bonus one out. I even liked, it was tragic, but I liked the Magneto scene with his daughter.
Yeah.
I thought that was really well done.
Because you got Magneto in the beginning. He's trying to...
To
go
be
back
a normal
on the straight
person.
And narrow,
yeah.
Hide the fact that he's a mutant. The guy that everyone is searching for after the events in the 70s.
Yeah, after Days of Future Past. Not Future Past.
Yeah, and plus, like, you have that emotional scene where he's talking about, like, the numbers on his wrist, and he's explaining that to his daughter.
You know, why you don't see my parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he tells her they're with you all the time and opens his locket and... That's the picture of his parents.
And after they kill his daughter, spoiler alert, kill his daughter, and his wife gets killed, that's the thing he uses to kill the rest of the guards with, is that locket.
Yeah.
Just really well done, in my opinion.
Because basically the police in this country he's in, they show up, they don't have anything metal on them, because they know he's Magneto. One of them has a bow and arrow, and this little girl who, she screams because she's seeing her daddy taken away. Some ability comes out. These crows start attacking everyone. The one guy lets go of the arrow and hits both, like, the wife and the daughter. And
one shot.
Jeez, I mean.
Well, it goes through their daughter.
Yeah, and you just
get into her heart. Yeah.
Yeah, and you feel, like, every bit of the emotion. Which, again, credit to Michael Fassbender, who's a very, very good actor. Anybody that's seen Shame or 12 Years a Slave, I mean, they know the power range that this guy has. I mean... And he wears it so well. I mean, people love Ian McKellen. I'm sorry. Michael Fassbender is easily the best Magneto.
I agree with that, actually. I would agree with that. Okay, so what did the movie succeed? What did it succeed in? John, I'll let you take the lead.
Well, the other thing I want to also, like, touch on are some, like, scenes that didn't work.
I know. I was trying to keep the positives together and the negatives together.
Okay.
Switching
well,
it up a little bit.
What it succeeded in, I'd say just overall entertainment. I mean, like, again, when they have, like, their big moments, like the Quicksilver scene or the Wolverine scene, it's done so well. And, you know, it succeeded, and it also succeeded in bringing back a little bit of that nostalgia factor for me, too. You know, seeing more than just the same characters I've seen in all the X-Men movies for God knows how long. They actually, you know, they spread out the net. They threw in some other characters that were cool to see. It was cool to see Archangel. It was cool to see Angel become Archangel.
Yes.
It was cool to... God, it was great to see Psylocke.
Yeah, I thought they did. I would have liked to see more of that character, honestly. I thought it was pretty limited.
I mean, I'd read the comics. I'd seen her in, like, the X-Men's... You know, she's in the blue team. So, yeah, it's just, she's, she was so cool to see in each of the issues.
Aaron?
I think just in terms of, like, kind of theme, it did really well. Like, just seeing the X-Men take place in that almost historical context really seems to work, either because it's such a nostalgic property for us to begin with, or just because just the tone of it really fits well within, you know, kind of dealing with the civil rights movement and kind of the 60s and 70s, and or even just moving on to the 80s where, you know, you still have that kind of nostalgia thing, you still find people trying to find their place in the world, and I think in that way it works really well in a historical context, even a little better than it does like in the original three films where it's a bit more in the present. So I think in that regards it does that really well, and in just the tone and theme of it, it does fine.
That's a fair point. Steph, anything you want to add?
I think it succeeded in showing us the beginnings of Jean Grey's powers.
Yeah.
And that was kind of cool to see for me because, you know, I knew in the only way I know about Jean Grey's powers is, hey, I watched the cartoon. But then you have the, you know, shitty movie of, what was it?
Last Stand.
Last Stand that shows her as the Phoenix, and it's like, they kind of pissed it down their leg almost.
Yeah, I'm hoping if they take another shot at this time to do it right.
They made her very, very dark. Mm-hmm. And I get that it's a dark power, but it was like, really?
Well, it depends on which Phoenix you're looking at, whether it's the Phoenix, the Guardian of the Universe, or the Dark Phoenix. I mean,
I thought they kind of did really well with that.
Okay, that's fair. All right, so let's get into scenes that didn't work, Aaron.
I actually found a lot of the bigger scenes, like, just there's so much that's just so over the top, you don't really have a sense of scale. Mm-hmm. So when you have Magneto trying to bring up all the ships from the ocean and just destroy everything towards the end, you don't really get a sense of scale for the final battle.
Yeah, I agree.
I actually kind of feel like you're just kind of reintroducing Jean Grey and Scott Summers, so kind of transitioning to the Phoenix thing or kind of hinting at it already seems kind of shoehorning it in a little.
Too soon, man. Too soon.
Yeah, like, you're just kind of introducing the characters. I actually didn't like their casting for Nightcrawler. Like, for some reason, like, I really prefer him in the original X-Men film. I'm not sure what is about that actor or character.
Alan Cumming's a great actor.
I'm sure he is. It's just there's something about it. Just it didn't work for
me. Well, I mean, like, Alan Cumming is the one from the original. Yeah, I mean, he's a great actor. Yeah. That's probably why.
And then you also get to their casting of Jean Grey and Scott Summers, which I'm sure they did fine roles, but, like, some of the dialogue seemed a little flat, and Mystique taking on a more leading role in the X-Men's a little off. It's okay. It's just it's a little different take on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
For me, I guess the scene, I'll agree that the final battle scene was a little, you kind of got lost in it a little bit. I'm going to say, like, I would have liked to have seen, in this release for the next part, but I also would have liked to have seen them use Storm a little bit more.
Yeah, they didn't use her too heavily.
I mean, we got to see her do, you know, some wind and some lightning, maybe a few flashes of lightning.
And then she sits out, like, most of the battle up until the end.
Yeah, there's not much. I mean, she's one of the most powerful mutants out there.
It's actually interesting. Like, if you look at the trailer, you can't really tell how young she is in the film. Yeah. But once you start talking, it's like, wow, I forgot how young they actually have Storm in.
Although I did like how they gave her the accent.
Oh, yeah. Well, cool. The actress did really good job with Storm.
And they gave her the origin, like, when we first got introduced to Storm. I mean, she had the mohawk. She was a pickpocket. She was essentially, she picked Charles Xavier's pocket in Cairo.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. Steph? Any scenes that you thought didn't work, or that you had an issue with?
I don't know. Maybe the very beginning, when first get introduced to Apocalypse, and you show the Four Horsemen there.
Yeah, his.
Yeah, yeah, that they seemed kind of useless, except the one at the end.
She was kind of like his right hand man, like his archangel.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She basically protected him from the rocks, crushing him so that he can absorb the other mutant's power.
Yeah,
because they showed you when they laid the boy or the man on the slab, you know, they cut into him and it healed
like Wolverine.
Like Wolverine.
Yeah.
Which was weird. Mm-hmm. But I guess the powers go on generation and generation and generation or something.
Well, it just means that, you know,
there's the same people power. Similar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, but I just thought, you know, these are supposed to be, you know, his four horsemen, and you know they're supposed to be like, I guess, all powerful almost, or you know, for somebody who gives is, you know, horseman power or gives them the power, they were just kind of like easy to kill off.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Well, that makes sense. No, nothing wrong with that at all. I don't know, John. What about you?
Yeah, yeah, Aaron. I'll second that with you about the whole Gene and Scott stuff feeling a little flat. Like they have their meet cute moment, then they have like a little, oh, now I think I'm attracted to you now that I can see you. Wow, you're superficial, Scott. Yeah, and the whole transition of like Mystique to being like this icon, this leader that everyone looks up to. It's like, really, we're doing the Katniss Everdeen shit.
Yeah, with it X-Men. Is almost taking that role.
It really is. Like she's just basically doing the Hunger Games again.
Like you have like Storm at the beginning, you're like, oh, that's my hero, and you're just like, what?
Wait, really? What? The person that has no face? Really?
We've seen this before, though. We saw this in Last Stand. They did it with Halle Berry. They're giving the bigger star the bigger role.
No, it's essentially what they did with Wolverine in the last three movies. Like, they gave...
Maybe a little bit.
Well, Wolverine is...
No, Wolverine was always the key.
But it wasn't about the actor. It was about the character.
I could actually understand that with Storm, though. Storm was a leading figure from the X-Men. She's one of the most powerful mutants in it. I can kind of understand that a bit.
But
more.
They catered to Halle Berry because Halle Berry said she wouldn't do it unless they gave her that. I feel like, to be fair, they gave her.
And to be fair, they gave her nothing because it was so much damn Wolverine and all the other movies.
Well, yeah, I just feel like they're doing the same thing here with.
Well, I kind of thought it was beautiful that, knowing what I know about that now,
Jennifer Lawrence.
That they kind of, you know, stabbed her in Last Stand and, like, chucked her body over a mountain.
Storm, oh, Halle Berry.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah. They really got rid of Halle Berry in that one. Yeah.
Okay, we're done with you.
But
so there's her raise you off the mountain.
But she was also became the leader of the X-Men at the end. Anyway, but... I just felt like they're doing it again. They're catering to the star.
Well, you're that, or they're expecting the star to carry it to a certain extent. Because I mean, that's what they've really done.
Well, it's what every Wolverine does, no matter what.
Well, some more than others, but with this franchise, yeah.
You're gonna trust me. They're gonna cater to the star.
Oh yeah, definitely.
especially if they know it's gonna sell tickets.
Yeah, right. Well, they've already had Lawrence, you know, more or less carry the Hunger Games series. Like they're expecting her to more or less continue that.
Right.
Well, didn't they postpone filming because the Hunger Games?
No, they did. Yeah, they actually lost director Matthew Vaughn for Days of Future Past because they said, oh, no, well, Jennifer Lawrence is contractually obligated to do the next three or four, however many damn Hunger Games movies there are. And Matthew Vaughn went, well, guys, I can't wait. I'm sorry. Then there's Bryan Singer going, I'll come back.
Yeah.
Which... I'm still kind of upset about it. I would have loved to see the director of, you know, Kingsman continue with the X-Men franchise.
Well, I mean, you're going to have the second Kingsman coming out soon.
So. I know, but I just... First Class is still my favorite.
All right. Okay, so let's take a look at it. We already kind of have. It's hard not to, right? But let's look at it as comic book fans. How did we feel that the movie treated the characters and integrated their backstories? Aaron, what did you think? How did you think the movie did?
It integrates some of them okay. I mean, there's a lot of characters they're kind of covering, so you can't really go too in-depth with any of it. Mm-hmm. It did an okay job.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. John?
You know, as much as it re-triggered a lot of the nostalgia factor for me, and... Just because, you know, when I hear X-Men Apocalypse, and knowing, like, just that sense of dread that I got every time I knew that Apocalypse was, like, the big bad in the end of every of the cartoon episodes, I mean, it would scare the crap out of me. Then you hear about Oscar Isaac gonna be playing Apocalypse, I'm like, oh, it's gonna be great, I mean, he's a good actor, I mean, I've seen his stuff, and I was like, oh, man, I wonder what he's gonna do, and then I see him, and Storm is taller than him in a lot of scenes, I mean, what the hell? I'm not used to a short Apocalypse. Yeah. I'm not used to one that has more of a softer voice and gesticulates with his arms. I mean, holy crap, there's a scene in Auschwitz when he's doing, like, the hand gestures like he's, like, Vito Corleone trying to negotiate at the table.
Is he Jim Kirking it for you?
Oh, my God. It was... I'm sorry. Oscar Isaac was a terrible Apocalypse.
I'm jumping ahead early. Sort of threatening
so,
feel to him.
No, there is no threat. I mean, I hear the name Apocalypse. I expect to feel the weight of Apocalypse. And no, I had to wait till like halfway through the movie to truly hear something even close to the Apocalypse voice.
It was towards the end.
Yeah, towards the end.
Halfway through.
Yeah, like, oh, it comes out and like his
expands in his mind.
Oh, and going back to scenes going back to scenes that didn't work for me, when they launch all the nuclear warheads,
yeah,
and that Beethoven scene is playing, the first thing that triggers through my mind when I hear that Beethoven thing is, oh, that's Colin Firth's theme from the King's Speech. He was doing his King's Speech as nuclear warheads are going off. I'm like, the film historian in me is going, well, no, the contextually, it didn't work. I mean, and what didn't work is Singer, who's usually pretty good at doing symbolism, his symbolism was way off in this movie, like, to the point it was, like, terribly heavy-handed. And going back to, like, the way the characters and everything are integrated, Apocalypse was... the way they handled him was so bad. And the way that... I don't know. Some of the other characters were handled badly, and if we were going to get into a spoiler, the way they kill off Havoc...
Is he dead, though?
No, he's clearly dead. I mean, you see that scene. Yeah, Quicksilver, like, the first one he grabs is Hank, because that's the closest to the explosion he sees. So yeah, Havoc is clearly engulfed.
He has the comic book kill.
Yeah, he has the comic kill, but... yeah. It was cool to see the characters, but on the other hand, it's like, they're not the characters I remember.
Yeah.
So, like, there's that much of me that's, like, so much at war that I wanted to like Apocalypse. I wanted to like Psylocke. I wanted to like all this stuff that's happening. And it just, it didn't click. Like, there was so much going on with them that it was just... I didn't give him the focus.
I'll agree with the Apocalypse thing. I think Apocalypse should be big. He should be brooding. He should have the darker voice. I'll agree with you on all those points, John. I think I thought they did fairly well. I thought they did Quicksilver once again. I thought it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, Quicksilver
is very, very, very well done. I think that as far as Cyclops, I actually kind of liked his backstory. I kind of dug that. I got into that.
Yeah.
And how Havoc kind of brings him bored and everything. I like that whole story. If anything, I liked the first half of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You got the background on Apocalypse. You got, you got the backstory of the kids. And it just kind of built from there. And I really kind of dug it. And then somewhere in between, it leveled off, and I got lost a little bit. And at the end, I was expecting something big. And don't get me wrong, it was big, but it wasn't...
The bigger it got, the more confused it got.
Yeah, the less emotionally invested you got in it.
Yeah.
That could be it, maybe.
And
it
also,
took me out
just
of it.
The dialogue throughout this film, like, it really varied scene from scene. Like, there were some scenes where it's just like, that phrasing is just so bad.
I mean, the only scene at the end that was good was the mental battle between him.
Yeah, that's
him and
really
Apocalypse.
The only time Apocalypse really seems threatening is when you see him as like that giant in his, in the
his
mental
mind.
Sphere.
Which I'm sorry, he can do that physically in the real world. When I saw that in the trailers, I was expecting that to be in the real world.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know. It was like for me, it was almost a tale of two movies. Yes, Apocalypse was not done right. In fact, I know they even had a... They did a head based on the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And that looked a hell of a lot better than Isaac's. I'm not taking anything away from Oscar Isaac. I think he did the best with what he was told to do and the direction he was given. But, yeah. The problem was Apocalypse, because Apocalypse is the main villain in this. And is it... I don't know if it was just me, but because of his lack of lines and the way he was portrayed, it seemed like to me that he was just the attack. He was just he was the reason it was happening. There was no.
Yeah, he didn't really have much of a character.
No, he didn't. He really didn't. I mean,
so yeah, they fail. I think they failed big time on the actual Apocalypse. Was the movie entertaining? Was it fun? Yeah, I enjoyed it. But does it meet the new level that I expect the comic book movies to reach these days?
No. If this came out 10, 15 years ago, it would have been a great comic book movie for the time. But after going through things like Civil War and how we've seen like the Marvel Universe and Batman Begins,
like the Dark Knight. Right, I mean, yeah.
Like after following that...
The bar is too high.
Yeah. Like you're expected not just to have like a great action scenes, but like an actual deep, meaningful story to kind of coincide with that. And it didn't really have that to the same extent.
Yeah, that's kind of what left me dry, too, is, like, as much as I get on X2 for having, you know, like, being so overt with their, you know, undertones about the homosexuality aspect in there, there was nothing to this. There was no sense
the symbolism
of,
was so bad, at the end you have a giant metal X.
I hated that. I hated that
moment. I liked it at first, but as they kept going with it,
It was just like, it's in the final battle scene. You get it, it's X, because you're watching X-Men, right? You get this?
Like,
okay.
It's like, one bar comes out, I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. And then another one comes out, it's this big wide shot that shows X in front of it. I went,
How much blood are you doing? Can you make that?
Oh my god.
I liked it at first. I thought it was kind
of... Did you go to the Zack Snyder School of Symbolism?
I thought it was funny, and I thought it was a cool way for Magneto to show that he'd switch sides.
This was...
But, yeah.
But this was a guy that, like, in First Class, shoved this coin through, you know...
Through the guy's head.
Through the guy's head.
Kevin Bacon's head.
Thank you. Kevin Bacon's head. And it's just... He's not that subtle, but he's not one for corny theatrics.
I don't know. I think they probably would have done better in the main scene if you had, like, even all the X-Men circling around Apocalypse trying to kill him. It would have been better.
Mm.
At least you've been more emotionally vested than what... I don't know. Just the fact that Magneto...
Well, it also could be... Partially, the battle was kind of divided between the mental sphere and the physical realm, and that kind of split up the tension to an extent.
And the other thing, they took the whole story with Magneto losing his daughter and his wife. And they didn't use it.
No, they completely discarded it.
They completely didn't use it at the end. I mean, I thought for sure they were going to use Quicksilver to bring it back, and I expected more rage. I liked the fact that he betrayed Lost, but I didn't see... If I lost my daughter, the whole world's going to burn. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just how I would feel.
You almost see like Magneto just being numb. Exactly. Like, at best.
At best, yeah. Like, he's... You know, I don't know. It just... I expect it... As much as I like that actor as Magneto, I just expected that much more. I expected that to be the reason why he's tearing the world apart. And that's why you see him use his powers are so much more amplified. But I really didn't get that sense.
No, not really.
The second Apocalypse kills those guys at the steel mill, is like, don't stop me from killing these guys, and Apocalypse kills them.
Kind of takes it away from him.
He goes into mopey stage.
Yeah.
Until he throws that stupid X.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you almost have to take him back to Auschwitz just to try to bring out some, like, emotion out of him from Apocalypse's point of view. And even that seems like that was kind of overkill after you already killed off his family. Like, that seemed almost unnecessary to bring that out of him.
I mean, I understand. I think what they were trying to do there is to show him his new powers and how he destroys
the place he hates the most. That almost seems like the X-Men equivalent of showing Batman's origin stories in every film. Like, oh, we have Magneto in it? Mentioned he was in Auschwitz.
Oh, wait, because we already did that before with, you know, like you were saying, stuff, that thing on his arm. And it was already well done. Well established.
Yeah.
Don't need to bring it up again.
It almost comes up in every movie Magneto's in.
But, nevertheless, I, you know, I just feel like they missed something there. That would have been much better if we'd seen Magneto be in complete turmoil, be in complete rage, almost to the point of losing himself. And
yeah,
then,
I mean, you could have shown him almost manic. Yeah. And they would have made sense.
And actually have maybe Quicksilver bring him back from the brink of destruction. You know, something along those lines. You know.
Well, the other thing, too, is...
Instead, they left it open. Are you going to tell him? Oh, maybe someday.
Well, not only that, but he killed like a whole field of police officers, and then, hey, help you rebuild the mansion. Bye now.
Well, they also said...
Anyone coming back to, hey, still killed people.
Well, they didn't mention in the news story that, you know, Eric helped fight Apocalypse, essentially.
Yeah, but I was thinking about this, like, okay, well, there's that.
So all's forgiven.
Oh, wait. Yeah, wait, but he killed those people before Apocalypse. Never mind.
I know where you're going with it. I agree.
Steph, you've been pretty quiet listening to us nerd rant the whole time.
Yeah, we kind of went on a three-way nerd rant.
How about you?
How about me what?
Well, where were you as, like, comics? Like, how do you feel everyone was treated?
We had two questions that we kind of merged here. Is basically, the first question is, how did you feel it treats characters, integrate their backstories? And the second question would have been, we already kind of answered it, how did we feel the story worked and integrated the plots?
Okay, well, treat the character, integrate things right. Excuse me. Again, like Aaron and John, I liked the Quicksilver story. I didn't like that because Quicksilver's supposed to have a sister.
Yeah, the Scarlet Witch.
The Scarlet Witch.
Which we briefly see her in Future Past, I remembered.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Oh, that's right. They did actually put her in that. They're not like twins in this one, though, right?
No, like, well, he's just sitting there holding her on his lap.
Yeah. Here's my issue with that is they... According to the comics, Scarlet Witch is a sister, which means it's Magneto's daughter. Mm-hmm. But then, okay, you're yawning. I was going to say, you open your mouth. I swear to God, I'm going to hit you with a pillow.
Oh, my God.
And they kind of killed it for me when Quicksilver's like, yeah, he's my dad. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which was funny how they did
it. Well, yeah, it was funny how they brought out that, you know, Quicksilver says, yeah, he's my dad, and what's her name?
Mystique.
Thank you. It's 3 a.m, I'm sorry, y'all. And Mystique goes, what? What do you mean he's your father? Yeah, well, my mom and him, I know what that did, yeah, what, move on. And he's like, yeah, well, he left when I wasn't even born yet. Okay, well, then there's no Scarlet Witch.
Maybe.
Sorry.
I don't know.
We'll see. And I didn't like that. I didn't like how that integration or how that reveal happened.
Well, maybe Marvel and them, they split them up. They just split the property. Well,
the problem is we have to thank Disney for that, because when Disney's the one that told Marvel Comics that, or at least X-Men, you know, no, wait, now that we have them in Avengers, they're our property now.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. All right, so let's get to some quick fire questions, which are usually never quick, but I will fire them out. Favorite quotes, Johnny?
I don't know. I'm having a hard time remembering any of the dialogue from it. It was, like Aaron said, like, it either ranged from corny to just run-of-the-mill. I'm sure there's something, but it's nothing that really, like, stands out to me.
Okay.
The only one that stands out to me was just because of how bad the phrasing was on it, is the Nightcrawler, I've never done it with this many people before. Just because it was that bad a line.
I'll take the obvious one that we just talked about, that Steph talked about, which was, you know, the whole, well, Magneto's my father with Mystique. So that was probably pretty funny. Pretty good quote.
I don't really think I have a favorite quote.
Okay, that's fine. Favorite.
I can't really remember.
Favorite character, is Aaron?
honestly, once again, there's not really anyone that's standing out for me. I mean, I guess it would have to be Quicksilver just because I love that one scene.
Okay.
Usually I'm a huge Nightcrawler fan, but I really didn't like this iteration of it. I was really excited to see Jubilee, but she had like four lines and that was it. So.
She looks pretty.
Yeah. I mean, the costume seemed cool.
She's your cute Asian teen.
I was glad she didn't.
Yeah, I know I'm the only one who actually enjoys that character, but yes, I was excited I was enjoying that character being there, and then just
she's the nostalgia critic's dumbass in distress. She's there to be kidnapped.
Okay.
My favorite character was. Sadly, it was Quicksilver, but it's kind of horrible to base a whole movie on one character and one scene.
Okay.
And I know it's been done before with the Wolverine story of, you know, X1, X2, X3, you know, what was it?
Yeah.
Well, can we talk?
I don't know. You're going to cut me off again?
We've been cutting each other off the whole time.
Anyway, then never mind. So, yeah, I know it's been the Wolverine story the first three films, but it kind of seems like the last two films, everyone's been really impressed with Quicksilver. And it's only been because of the two big scenes he's had.
Mm.
And then it's kind of like, eh. This one, you had him saving everybody from the fireball. Yes, very cool, very awesome. Love the song. And then he didn't really do much. He took Mystique up to the chain link, metal fence that Magneto had around him almost.
His magnetic field.
Yeah. And, yeah, I can't get through there. Okay. I'm here to save my family too, but I'm not going to tell you who my family is. And, oh, I'm going to get my leg broken. Yay.
He got a couple punches in before.
He did.
No, that whole punch scene, oh my god, that was fucking awesome. But then it was like, I'm going to break your arm. I'm going to break your leg. Okay. How? Why? Oh, all right. It was kind of like.
That was like a really brutal act. It was like take away, you know, basically what he had.
Yeah, it's like crippling a horse.
Right.
Johnny, favorite character?
Again, I'm...
You can't come up with anything, huh?
No, I'm going to say it's Quicksilver.
Oh, okay.
I don't have a problem with basing it off of one scene in one moment, but, you know, the scenes he's in, he's great. Like, when... What was it? They're saying, like, it's like, I recognize Magneto's... It was like, I recognize Charles's voice. Who is that other voice? We don't know. We don't know, bro! I mean... It was corny, but just the way the guy says his line, I mean, just... I love the fact that the guy that plays him actually said, I wouldn't mind being an X-Man alongside of Deadpool. Like, I would like to be in the Deadpool 2 movie. I was like, oh my god, the hybrid of Quicksilver and Deadpool would be the, like, cinematic gold.
We don't know, bro. Was that an 80s term?
No, I know, it was corny because it's not an 80s term.
Okay.
Maybe he coined it. You never know.
But, no, I mean, yeah, my favorite character is still Quicksilver.
Okay. I'm actually going to go a little different direction. I liked Professor X in this one. I liked McAvoy's version. I liked how, you know, he took on... I liked how he took on Apocalypse.
I feel like he whined too much.
Not really. Yeah. I liked how when they shaved him and turned him... into from McAvoy into Stewart, you know, or the actual Professor X. So
the Chrome Dome Professor X relationship that we know?
With the one female character, I can't
Moira.
Remember.
Moira,
like that whole Mike thing, Tiger. That seemed kind of weird, didn't it?
Not really. He had a thing for her first class.
When he brought her memories back at the end.
Sorry,
that like completely
taken him.
Yeah, complete move on my part.
But it felt like the decision made at the end of First Class was a bad one. I'm like,
I was waiting for her to punch him.
Well, maybe it was just the right timing to do it. You know? He had his reasons for doing it back then.
And they were still good, and it was still not...
Well, he put his personal feelings ahead of himself. Who hasn't done that? All right, favorite moments. John.
Sweet Dreams. I mean, come on. That's the best scene of the movie.
Like, haven't we said this already? It's,
right. You can't come back from it.
Okay, Steph, I'm going to say yours is the same, right?
Yeah.
Ditto.
Ditto. Okay. I will... I got to be a little different, I guess.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Hipster.
Just because we're going to bring up different parts of the movie. I mean,
was there anything
else? I like the Wolverine scene. So,
okay.
That was cool. Least favorite moment, John?
The giant X in front of the building. Jesus Christ. That's really? Terrible.
That's your worst?
Oh, my God. Symbolism, like I said, is something that you do subtly. You don't stamp it on someone's forehead. I mean, it is that bad.
I have a different one. I
think it was that bad. Okay, go ahead.
My least favorite scene? Mm-hmm. They killed Archangel.
In a plane crash.
In a fucking plane crash. They killed a winged mutant in a plane crash. With the plane having a giant hole in the top of it that he could have easily flown out of.
We don't know if he's dead, by the way, but all right.
Oh.
He's in the same place.
You gotta take that away from me.
He could have folded those steel wings around himself. He would have been fine.
Really? Because Apocalypse walks up, goes, looks at him, goes, useless!
And which pretty kept much.
Walking away.
Which pretty much, I have to say, his horsemen were pretty useless. As cool as Psylocke and Storm are, they didn't use them well enough. Yeah, so,
they
yeah.
didn't really do a whole lot.
And Magneto, I mean, I'm like, really?
Okay. I just want to create rings around me.
I'm angry they I'm killed my wife and daughter. I'm creating a magnetic
field around the Earth to destruct itself.
And that would actually be one of my least favorite scenes, is the battle with him doing that. Mm-hmm. Because it didn't feel like he was really doing anything. Mm.
I'm going to race the Titanic.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. For me, it might be the nuclear missile scene. Like, visually, I actually think it's really well done. Like, I think...
It's amazing.
Yeah, visually, it's really well done. I actually think the visuals, the colors they used in this movie actually do really well for most of it. But from a plot standpoint, you have a character that wants to blow up most of the Earth anyway.
Yeah.
And his advantage of using nuclear arms, he just sends it all into space.
There are a lot of bad... stupid decisions.
I think they were trying to show that he was disarming them, taking away their power. But
I'm
could have succeeded like half an hour earlier into the film, and he could have just raised up a mutant army or nation afterwards. Just lead the survivors.
Yeah,
and he just didn't bother.
Yeah, no. I mean, he makes this big statement, and then mopes around in Egypt again. I mean, at least in the cartoon, when you have the creation of the horsemen. The second he creates them, he sends them out, and they start destroying the world.
Okay. Next question. Did this new cast succeed? Aaron?
I actually didn't like most of the new additions to the cast.
Okay.
Like, the one characters that have actually been there for the last few, like, movies I actually thought did really well, but most of the new cast, like... Jean Grey, Scott Summers, Nightcrawler. I actually didn't really like most of them. Like, or at the very least, I felt their dialogue fell flat, or there was just something I didn't enjoy that well.
So you didn't like Sansa Stark as Jean Grey?
It's not that I think she's necessarily a bad choice, it's just a lot of the dialogue kept feeling really flat, and it kind of took me out of it a little bit.
And we know how you feel about Nightcrawler, too.
Yeah. I actually like Jubilee. But she was there for like 4 scenes, so it's
good. Good.
I just didn't want to see the fireworks. Stephanie.
Sorry. Yeah. No.
Okay. Fair enough. They're supposed to be quick fire. So, John.
Kind of a mixed bag. I'll actually throw a bone to Sophie Turner. I thought she made a good Jean Grey. Oscar Isaacs, what the hell are you doing? Watch the cartoon. Pick up a comic book. See what Apocalypse is all about. Effects designers, make your guy 7 foot tall.
I'll say yes and no. I'll say Apocalypse, no. No, whether that's Oscar Isaacs' fault or not, I don't know.
I don't think it was.
It really wasn't.
As far as the rest of the cast, I didn't mind it. I didn't mind the. I thought the kid that played Cyclops was good. I actually liked Sophie Turner as Jean Grey.
I needed more feeling.
Storm, actually, the actress that played Storm did really well.
For what she had. I would have liked to see more of her. Yeah. But.
I feel like for Jean Grey's character and her being telekinesis and mind telepath. Control and things like that, yeah, it needed more feeling. Like Aaron said, it was very flat.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a lot of emotion around her.
Well, she did have her night terrors where she almost burned down the building.
Yeah, but it again flat. It's
a dream.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I think I know how we've already answered six. Six was how did we like the portrayal of Apocalypse? I think we all had our centerpiece there. How did the movies Four Horsemen stand up? Real quick. Scale 1 to 10.
5.
5. Stuff.
I don't know much about it, so I'll say 4.
4, John?
4 is about right.
Yeah.
Four, they should have gone out and done more damage, but I like seeing Storm and Psylocke there, so.
Yeah, I would like to have seen a lot more of them. I would have liked to see them do a lot more damage, and I would like to see the X-Men fight them more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll say 4 as well. That's pretty standard. Phoenix Tees. Where do we go from here, John?
You know what? Bryan Singer, you've done this to us before. You directed 2 X-Men movies in a row. In the end of the second one, you always tease us with a Phoenix at the end, and then we are left with crap. I don't know. I mean, the Phoenix is such... What makes that story great is the story that surrounds it. So... And I hate to say it, just bringing it out straight out in Jean is a terrible idea. Because the Phoenix has to be something that's built up to. So, I don't know. I don't know if the Phoenix story can be done well unless you give it a miniseries.
I will agree that she's pretty strong even with her telekinesis right off the bat, where in the other versions, Jean is not as strong yet. She seems equally powerful right off from the beginning with Professor X, which... is not really how she's portrayed. I mean, not until, you know, she becomes the Phoenix does she surpass Professor X in his power. So, I don't know. She's kind of his equal, if not his... I don't know.
Anyway. Well, I think that's why he calls on her to help him at the end. Yeah. And says, unleash all your power.
Let it go.
Let it go. Don't be afraid. Let it go, right?
Okay.
But, In the first X-Men, trilogy that we had, I felt like Jean used more of her telepath powers and not really any telekinetic. Mm-hmm. I didn't see anything telekinetic in those three.
Kind of used I remember a scene where she grabs I would say it's called using the Force, but she grabs a pen or a syringe or something.
She lifts something over Wolverine as he's first brought into the mansion.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so
yeah, no,
I mean, they didn't really do anything. But you're right.
She doesn't. She doesn't really use her telekinesis until the end of 2. Yeah.
And again, that's Bryan Singer.
She lifts the plane up. Yeah, that was about it.
Yeah.
And again, that's Bryan Singer not wanting to make his females strong ever. He's not good at it.
All right, Aaron. Sorry. Where do I think we go with the Phoenix?
It's hard to say where they go with it just because it seems like they're taking a different route with it. I actually think if you're going to use the Phoenix, having the backstory, the entire context of it really is a necessary component. Mm-hmm. Whereas this, it seems like it's kind of shoehorning it in and it's making it almost like an innate part of her abilities rather than like a foreign entity.
Yeah, I think the fact that, I agree with that. I think the fact that I think they've made the mistake by reintroducing it as part of her always being there. Now, if they actually do decide to do a Phoenix and go back and show, her being given the Phoenix as a kid, as a early child or something, I'd be okay with that. But the fact that she's innately just born with the ability, unless they have some way of tying that into the space part of the saga,
yeah, it's almost it's creating as like a sub persona sort of thing. Yeah.
Where did she get it from?
Well,
space is where it came from.
Well, it actually has a tie into Star-Lord's dad.
Yeah.
So I doubt it's going to tie into
that. Well, I doubt it's going to tie into it with 20th Century Fox.
They're who is it? The guy who's doing Infinity War.
The Russo brothers.
Yeah, they're actually asking that X-Men be part of it. So.
Oh, wow. Good.
So they'd have to, like...
Do you think they'd recast everyone if they, like, introduced it again like they did with Spider-Man?
I don't know. Plus, you'd have to,
you've already had three movies of this series. So, I mean, if you wanted to recast it, this would necessarily be the time.
And up to this point, you've had the X-Men universe has always... It's, like, in a different dimension as to where the MCU is. So, you know, it'd have to have some sort of cross-dimensional terror or something. I don't know.
Well, either that or you just... Yeah, you'd have to reboot it in a different way.
Yeah, you couldn't do it any other way. If you try to say that they exist in the MCU, it would just get confusing to me. I don't know. Okay, so let's rank this one. There are 8 total before the... Is counting this one, I think? Yes.
Yep.
So counting the Wolverine films and including this one, there are 8. So on a scale of 1 to 8, 1 being the best, 8 being the worst, where would you rank it, Johnny?
You know, I was just actually doing the list in my head. It actually ranks 5th for me.
Okay.
Because, for me, First Class is still the best. Days of Future Past next two are about 2 and 3, neck and neck. And then I still got to throw a bone to the original. So, yeah, it comes in under the original, but definitely above Last Stand.
Okay. Steph, where would you place it in the...
I really have no idea. 8 being the worst, probably 7.
7? So, second worst. Okay. Aaron?
I'd probably put it at 6. I mean, X3 and then Wolverine Origins, probably.
The mute Deadpool?
Yeah. That, and I really didn't like how they did Gambit on that as well, so... yeah, I think those are the two that'd be behind it. Like, it does okay, and it's on par with, like, X2.
It was...
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. I'd say, if I had to put it, I'd probably rank it probably maybe...
I mean, if
maybe a 4. Maybe as high as a 4, maybe.
If I had to give it a grade, it would probably be a C.
I wouldn't give this one a C. It was much more entertaining than a C. I would give it...
Just final thoughts?
Yeah, let's leave it for final thoughts. Okay. So let's talk about at the end of the credits, we get teased with Exacorp, and I think it's Mr. Sinister is teased here. So what do you guys think about that, Aaron?
If they introduce Mr. Sinister as the next villain, I'd actually be pretty happy with that. To be honest, as you guys really dug Apocalypse, I always thought Mr. Sinister was kind of the cooler villain.
Really?
Like, he's a bit more mentally, you know, manipulative. He's actually has a larger end goal. I find him more interesting as a character.
His plots are definitely cooler.
Yeah.
They used him more.
Yeah, they did as well.
Yeah.
He
had that whole, what was that island? In season 2 of the X-Men cartoon, like, they had that whole story arc. Savage Land.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he is in the whole Savage Lands, isn't he?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I always found him just to be a slightly more interesting character. So, I mean, that'd be kind of cool to see him. The one thing that'd be a little bad about it is, like, doing his makeup or, like, just the face on it is going to be really hard not to make that look really tacky.
He's going to have, like, Vision's crystal in the center of his forehead.
Yeah, it's something like that, and it's kind of gothy and... I think it's going to be really hard to do him visually without making
Paul Tim Curry.
Yeah.
That's
probably not going to happen. He's kind of wheelchair bound.
I'm saying get his makeup designer.
Oh, okay.
Steph, what do you think about Mr. Sinister? I know you don't know much about the comics, but
but I remember him from the comics.
Okay.
I mean, it was part of the comics I used to watch, and I remember that. I didn't remember Apocalypse so much because I don't know why, but. Sinister, I think, would be a really cool next villain. That would be really awesome. Mm-hmm. I remember watching it as a kid. You know, the what was it, like, the purplish, whitish, kind of whitish face, almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that big cape.
Yeah.
You described him as the Dracula-looking guy.
He is very close
Count
to
Dracula.
Dracula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, the because I was like, oh, the Dracula guy. Oh, yeah, yeah. Excuse me. I'd like to see where it goes with that, honestly.
Okay.
And I want to know why he's collecting the vials.
Yeah, that would be interesting to know. Obviously, he's going to have some sort of mutant experimentation. Hopefully, it's something different.
Hank Bauer actually sent me a note to remind, be sure to bring up that X-23 is being teased with it.
I thought they were teasing X-23 for the next Wolverine film, though.
Yeah, that's the 23? Other thing, too. X-23 is the female Wolverine,
yeah,
with two claws instead of three.
Yeah, she's like a Wolverine clone that he almost ends up raising in some adaptations. There's also Dakin, which is his illegitimate son or like bastard son, but you don't really see him very much. Like he never came up. Neither of those two characters came up in the cartoon series back in the day.
No, yeah, like they were some pretty new characters in the comics that I actually had to go and look up.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Just like I had to look up Essex Corp at the end, I'm like, what the hell is that? Okay, great, is that a stinger? It's not much of a stinger for me.
I don't know. I'm excited. John, are you excited to see Mr.
You
Sinister?
You know what? Actually, I am. I mean, I remember Apocalypse, and Sinister always had some cool storylines. He also had the other cool voice on the cartoon, too. Like, Apocalypse had, like, the deep, you know, mechanical voice behind it, but Sinister had kind of like this, it was like a sly voice with a bit of a hiss and an echo behind it. It was like this really cool sound
effect.
Didn't
he do a lot of wasn't there a lot of episodes with Rogue?
If
I remember correctly, no.
It was mostly Scott and Jean, because he thought that their genetics were the ones that were going to, you know, be the superior ones. Because essentially he was like an insane geneticist, which is cool.
Despite being a powerhouse, he was kind of the mad scientist sort of character.
Dr. Dracula meets Dr. Frankenstein, or Dracula meets Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah,
something like that. I'm kind of interested to see it. I hope they rebound from Apocalypse, because I was pretty let down with Apocalypse. So, because Apocalypse to me is the biggest X-Men thing. So, yeah. Okay, so we've really gone into this. We were almost an hour long, so let's go into final thoughts and grades. All right, John, final thought. Great.
You know, for as harsh as I've been on the movie, and yeah, I'm going to always acknowledge the flaws of it, I'll go B minus, because it borders on the my thumb is barely up kind of recommendation. I was entertained. Yeah, it's just like, it's to the side and slightly irking up because I was entertained at points. Other points really irked me and annoyed me as a comic fan, and then the other side of me telling me, like, you know what, get over it. But on the other hand, it's just some stuff I can't look over. So it's a mixed bag for me, it really is. But overall, it was one I'm. It's not one that I regret watching, but one that, you know, I'm not gonna rush out to see again anytime soon.
Okay. Stuff?
I said it before, I'll say it again, and I give it a C. Just because, I don't know, I was kind of let down by Apocalypse. In the cartoons, he's this big,
menacing
character that everyone fears and no one can kill. And they show him as this short little kid. Not kid, but little man.
And let's not also forget, like you said, they couldn't kill him. They killed him.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, and Quicksilver kind of saved the movie for me.
Okay.
In that you know, exploding scene.
Right.
He also saved the movie for me when they're all stuck in the jail. And
Stryker?
Stryker.
Used to be Lieutenant Stryker, now it's Colonel Stryker.
Yeah,
ooh, you had a good plot point about that, from Future Past to this one.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense to me, because Weapon X is with Colonel Stryker, and then Days of Future Past, at the end of it, you see Wolverine's basically drug out of the Potomac River by what you think is Stryker, but it's actually Mystique. Mm-hmm. And just that whole timeline, that whole... How did that get fucked up?
Well, there's obviously a story there that has been told.
Yeah, there's a story, but it's like... Yeah, that just doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like, okay. All right, whatever. Something happened. There was a lot of loose ends, a lot of questions. I just... Yeah, and it... Yeah. I wasn't that impressed.
You had another one about the aging.
Oh, yeah, the aging. Sorry. 3:30 in the morning, I'm kind of tired. The aging pissed me off to no fucking end. And Brian's looking at me like, what? You had Havoc, which is Alex Summers. Yes, right? Yeah, guys. Alex Summers. Who in 1963 is on a beach in Cuba with the whole missile crisis. Okay. He's like 20-ish. Yeah. You know, maybe a teenager. Kind of in, you know, 15, 20-ish age. Okay. Then you have him 1973 going, leaving Saigon, which is Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's so 83... He's supposed to be roughly late 30s, early 40s age, right? Am I saying that?
Yeah, yeah. Probably.
He looks like he's fucking 25 years old.
He's a mutant.
Yeah, but they age.
Not Wolverine doesn't. Well, he does, but first.
Well, that's because of his healing factor.
They still age because Wolverine at one point was a child. And he's now an adult.
Well, I know. I said he... I said he ages slowly.
He juices.
Charles Xavier, also mutant. He first ages. Class. Fassbender, or Magneto, he ages.
Yeah.
They made him look... And he's supposed to be 40-ish. In the late 30s, early 40s. And they made him look like he was 25. Not to mention, where the fuck has he been the last 10 years? When they bring him into the movie, hey, Mom and Dad, I guess he's a lot more like me than we thought. Where have you been? You enter, like, and then, okay, we have that. And then, we're gonna kill you. Okay. What?
I didn't like the fact they killed him, but it didn't bother me, I guess. I don't know.
It didn't bother me either, but that's because I didn't care about him. It's just, none of it made sense to me. I was just like lost, and Mystique, yes, she replicates and whatever. They didn't really age her either, but I could see why they wouldn't, why they can't really age her because she's self replicating or
well, she can morph into
anything. Morph, yeah. But I was so like so many questions. It was just very open-ended, and I wasn't that impressed with the whole film to begin with.
That's fair.
Sorry.
Aaron?
I thought the film was okay. I'd probably rate it a C plus tops.
Okay.
It works as kind of a generic action movie. There's a lot of big scenes, but the plot line kind of falters. The dialogue's not that great. And the sense of scale kind of throws you off, so you're not really emotionally invested into the end. And, like I said earlier, I mean, if this was 10, 15 years ago, like, if this came out around the time of X2, it probably would have been viewed as a fine movie for the time, and especially in terms of where comic book movies were. But, you know, we've gone through, you know, the Dark Knight trilogy and Civil War and, you know, or at the very least, Daredevil from the Netflix series of Elektra.
Not Affleck?
Yeah, not the Affleck version. Like, we're used to having kind of a bit more story and dialogue and allow it to kind of take a bit more of an advanced role. And it didn't really... It kind of came short on that end. But otherwise, even with all that being said, it is an okay movie. I mean, you might enjoy watching it, and it just might not be the sort of thing you want to watch over and over again.
Understood. That's fair. I'll look at it this way. For me, it's almost the tale of two movies. The first half of the movie... Apocalypse's origin story, the bringing in the new kids.
What grade are you giving it?
The first part, I'd give an A.
Okay.
Enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. All the way through, actually, I would say the part where it gets bad is after, all the way up and through Quicksilver scene. It's a great movie. From that point on, though...
From the jail scene?
Yeah, it starts going... It's where it starts to lose me. It's where you start losing the emotional interest, investment in it, and it just kind of gets... I don't know, it gets muddled from there. Mm-hmm. So, the first half I would give an A. The second half I would probably give a C. So, overall, I'll give the film a solid B. It is entertaining at the end of the day. It is fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Is it one I would add to the X-Men collection? Yeah. I'm not going to say I hated it. I just thought it was horrible. Would I watch it again right now? No. Would I watch it again tomorrow when I had some time? Sure. So that's kind of where I see it. Okay, so where can you find Four Midwest Guys? Now we're over an hour long. You can find us by going to google.com and just typing in the number 4 Midwest Guys. There you'll be able to find our Twitter page, our Facebook page, our iTunes page. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. We also have a YouTube page. You'll be able to find that there as well. But reach out to us. We'd like to hear back from you. If you'd like to hear what you think, if we're doing well, if we're not, there's something you'd like to hear us talk about or even do a podcast series on, let us know. But reach out to us and let us know what we're doing. Okay, so Aaron, thanks for joining us.
Yep, no problem.
All right, Stephanie?
Peace out.
Copy. And Johnny Z?
I am off to bed.
Copy that, and so am I. And B. Willie saying, catch you next time.